Assalamu alaikum. This is your good brother Malaz Muhammad live on your Block Talk Radio coming to you at 7 o'clock p.m. And brothers and sisters, we apologize for the little delay. These things happen with modern technology. I don't get upset. I've been doing this for close to 8 years, and I realize that when you don't have your own vehicle, your own network, wherever it may be, sometimes you run into major difficulties. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, first comes difficulties, then comes ease. And because of that reason, I'm able to accept difficulties, but you don't give up. Sometimes people will come on and they don't hear you and they don't have patience, they'll hang up. You lose a lot of people, meaning if you had 1 million people, at least 1/3 of them is going to hang up. Because why? You wasn't there on time. Then you have a lot of people that will tune in later on. Because why? They wasn't coming on to hear 2 hours or an hour. We are like that, but we should understand that everybody is not like that. When I was a young man and became a fisherman, one of the top fishermen of the temple number 25, I remember a brother captain of the Muhammad Speaks, and I was on his squad because he had an A1 squad. A1, you had to do 156 papers a week. That was a lot of papers to me. I was only 14 years old. But then when I went to my first Savior's Day, I remember very distinctly that John Ali said, okay, all of you who are crack soldiers, get to my right. And if it was 1,000 of us out there, about 400 of us had to go to our right. He said, are you in the army of Muhammad? We hollered, yes, sir. You soldier for Muhammad? Yes, sir. You're a soldier? Yes, sir. He's all right. Well, the paper now for all your crack soldiers is 300. He doubled us. Well, I didn't say anything. I'm a crack soldier, so I accept. I was selling 300 Muhammad Speaks. And so when the brother said that he's going to meet with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I said, yeah, right. But he had the ability to do just that. And I said, well, how did you get there? He said, I sold 100. No, he said, I brought in 250 lost and found. I said, how long did it take you? He said, 90 days. I said, well, I'm going to go see the Honorable Elijah Muhammad next year. He said, you're going to see the Honorable Elijah Muhammad next year. I'm running next year. You're not going to beat me. I'm going back for the second time. And I remember distinctly, brother, when he said he's going to beat me, he shouldn't have said that to me. He goes, I don't let anyone beat me. And so I shocked him. I brought 350 in 1 day. 1 day. He bowed out. He said, this man brought in 350 in 1 day. And that's who I am. So I was a crack soldier, and I felt that I'm going to do the impossible because I like competition, righteous competition. Keep that in mind, righteous competition. And so we have to go through these difficulties, brothers and sisters, and we have to understand because there's a family on the other side, and they come in on conference call, and I usually put them in. For some reason, the number would not take, for whatever reason. They said that is not the number. Now, I don't know if anyone came on my line and changed the number, but you are more important than the conference call. I will try but I have to, I owe my allegiance to you all who took me to around the world. I went viral 3 times, and it wasn't just us that's in Islam. It's men and women in all walks of life. And right now, today, you have my rabbi, and you have the Jewish people that are listening to me. You have people that in the Hindu religion, a great scientist, Dr. Pandey, he listens to me. And you have a lot of Christians that listens to me. I'm so close to a female I call her. She's done hit her 96th birthday, and I call her mama. And boy, could that woman preach. And I go to her church, and I listen to her. She has a love for me. I have a love for her. And I do a lot of communication with Reverend Green, Pastor Green. And I mostly talk to her mother. Her sister. No, sister. She'll shoot me. Her daughter. I speak to her daughter. And she be right there. She made sure her mama can listen and hear everything that I say. And mama loved listening to me, and I love listening to her. And it's amazing because my mother, she passed at 95. But if she was here, she'd turn me on every night. She wants to hear her son. Those are the kind of things that makes me feel elated in doing what I'm doing, because those are the type of people that motivate you. Because you pray, you have to pray, you can reach that age. And this young woman kicks her legs and go down the stairs preaching, come up the stairs preaching. And it makes you feel good that you pray that you're going to be just like that if, in fact, Allah wills that you can be 96 years old. And she'll read from the Bible, and they'll read behind her. And my God, did she preach. And I enjoyed her to the point that I asked the community that Dr. Hansan asked me to rekindle. And I did what he asked me to do. And so I said, let's go over to the church. And so we, our community, went over to the church on Sunday, and we had a wonderful time. I have another mother. She's in El Islam. She's Dr. Hassan's wife. And I call her mama. Both of them are unbelievable in their ability to not stop. They just keep working. So because of Pastor Green have a love for Dr. Hansan, and that's how I met her, coming up there so many times for a decade. He put her right there by the podium. He honored her many times. But she always let her speak. We always look forward to hearing from her. And she'll say things that sometimes is short, but right to the point. And so I did have opportunity to introduce her on our 60th anniversary in Connecticut. And she's sitting right next to me. And sometimes I like to help her. You don't really need any help. She don't mind. She's very humble. And so we all have a great deal of love for her. But this is the way we're supposed to love each other, brothers and sisters. Because if we don't love each other like this, we're not going to make it. Because this is what God wants for us, to be able to see us loving one another. You will get many blessings if you do just that. And so Dr. Hansan, he's the first one that gave me my doctorate degree. But Dr. Hansan went to school for MANA. Before he handed in his paper, he asked the Emeritus Muhammad to look it over. He said, brother, you're going to get your doctorate degree. You've done a wonderful job. that made him feel good. Now, remember, what was he? Muhammad never graduated from a doctor degree in any university. Matter of fact, he might have went a year, maybe two, but he didn't study in that school of what they call universities, or even a junior university. He was raised by the Holy Quran that was given to him at the age of 4 years old. So this is why he was a little different than us, because his father said, your job is to read this book. And my God, did he read it. And this is why you never saw him. He always got put out. He always got put out. He always got put out. He didn't do anything bad. He was just teaching what we weren't ready for. And Amr Muhammad was very intelligent. He said, whoa, wait a minute, son. You can't teach that. They're not ready for that. And then he'll let them back again, and then he'll go into the Quran, and he had to sit them down again. So I observed all that as a young man. I realized that what is patience? I found out the hard way. Patience is not sitting around waiting for it to happen. Because if you sit around, it's not going to happen. It's not going to fall from the sky. Well, what is patience? Patience is persevering. Patience is endurance. Patience is repetition. Patience is don't give it up. You got to keep moving. But what is the patience? It's not going to happen until God wills it. Grandmother used to say, do you have the patience with Job? It was amazing. That's how I learned who Job was. Do you have the patience of Job? I didn't know what it really meant. But when you read about Job, Job went through hell. Holy hell. Yes, he did. And because he went through hell like that, you have to understand the reason for that is because Job was tried by Allah. Wow. So Satan came to Allah and said, you know, Job is very wealthy. He was wealthy, not rich, wealthy. He said, Job is very wealthy. You got too much. That's why he served you. Give me permission and I can take his wealth away from him. Allah gave him permission. Go ahead. And he lost his cattle and land. But he said, there's no God but Allah. So he came back again and he said, oh Allah, give me permission, because he only loves you because he has his children. So Allah said, go ahead. He moved his children, came home with blood up to his ankle of his children's blood to his knees. And Satan said, see, you should curse God. He said, there's no God but Allah. And he came back the third time and he asked, could he struck him with disease? Back then, the disease was so ugly and so nasty, you can see it all over your face. So his wife didn't want to feed him no more because of the disease he had. And Satan was trying to get to her to tell her she should leave him. She was on her way to leave him because he lost everything, brothers and sisters. You know any wives that leave their husband because he lost everything? Not going to go nowhere. But she wanted to go. That's what happened to Job's wife. But when he fell to his knees, he said, there's no God but Allah. And the book goes on to say that Job became more wealthy than he was before. He had patience in Allah. And that's what the seniors, when I was young, I used to hear him say, you don't have the patience of Job. But now Job wasn't physical, brothers and sisters. It was a good, good story for us to understand. How many of you have lost all your land and your cattle and lost your finance? How many of you have ever lost all your children and you alive today? How many of you have struck with disease? I mean, a terrible disease, but you didn't give up on God. And that's the moral of the story, that we can't ever give up. Because God will be there for you, but he's going to try you. Now, you or me may not could have handled that burden. That burden wasn't for us. That burden was for him. To make an example to all of us. Because nothing happens without the will of Allah. Not a leaf falls from the tree without his will. So if a leaf don't fall without his will, and he wills everything. Now, the difference from being that was created, he gave us a gift to not to accept if we don't want it. And that's why Satan don't like us. It's because we have the right to accept or reject, including God. You don't have to accept God. I was asked a question, and the question was, Murad, God says you have to do something, because I hear imams say, you have to make your prayer. You have to do this. You have to do that. I don't even have to think about that. Allah don't make us do anything. It's your choice. He gave us a choice. And in Islam, there's no compulsory. So there it is. So when they say God ordered us, God don't order his human beings. He ordered the angels. He ordered the jinn. He ordered the birds and the bees, the sun, the moon, and the stars. But he don't order us. He gives us freedom. You ever read that surah in the Quran? You are freedom in a city. You're a free man in the city. You're free. You're free to make your decision, but your decision could be good, it could be bad. But if it's bad, Allah will still reward you because he gave you the right to do wrong. But guess what? It's short. Yep. You chose to do wrong to become successful. Yes, Allah gives you that success. But it's a short time. Then here comes hell. In this world, we should thank Allah, but you don't know that. You pay in this world. I'll never do that again. Because it's temporarily heaven. Temporarily. Temporarily heaven for permanent hell. See, when we go to paradise, that's like coming out of the womb. Everything is given to us, the will of Allah. There's no wrong in the hereafter, no jealousy in the hereafter. It's not of this world. However, if you chose to do wrong in this world, you will be punished. Can you accept the punishment as Job had? I don't think so. Nor can I. I don't believe I can. But if you drop that vow, his job, are you on the job working for Allah or you work for yourself? That's the question you should ask yourself. You choose to work for Allah. You avoid being what Allah does not want you to be. And my God, do he give you the credit for retreating, repenting, and you turned yourself around. And so I like to say things, and I like to pick from my hard drive and come up with ideas. I remember my beautiful sister, my assistant, Salima, who probably screaming at me because I'm not on the conference call. hopefully they all will turn on Blog Talk Radio, New Africa, where I speak. If they do that, they will hear me, and I will go to them. But they can hear me if they are on this station. They're probably all calling this station to realize, well, where is he at? And so they'll listen, and then take time, and we will cross over, inshallah. But I'm afraid to do it because they can't get in without me unless my assistant, Lyle Bay, go on Tarfus call. He got all the numbers. And he can put everybody in. And they can sit there until I decide to call in. He'll send me a message. He'll send me a text and say, call in. I call on the regular number. I'll be in. If he chooses to do that, if he can hear me. You know, brothers and sisters, you always got to have your loved ones around you because you can't do everything yourself. Because I don't know why, and I can't grasp it at this time, why I could not get into my conference call. They said the wrong number I put in. I looked at the number over and over, and it's the same number, but I could not get in. It's okay. These things happen. But I said I wasn't going to wait any longer because I like to start right on the dot. I went 6 minutes over in coming on this station. And this station is more important than the other station. Only this station can question me. This is about our 12th time doing it, and they ask me questions. I don't program them, but they ask me questions. And they ask me some very, very strong questions. Now, I will say this, and if, in fact, I don't cut over, I had a call from my brother. He's my youngest brother. I always treat him like he was my son because he's much younger than me, and I took him everywhere. I put him over my business for years. I went in the restaurant business at 14 years old. And I was able to build one business, another business, another business. And I had trucks on the road called Meal on the Wheel. But I wasn't intelligent enough to patent it. I didn't even trademark it. And today they got my phrase, Meal on the Wheel. And if, in fact, I would have been able to do that, they would be paying me today. This is a big company in America that says Meal on Wheels. Anyway, so my little brother, he can drive any car he wanted. I had some of the most expensive cars, and he used to be afraid. Afraid of what? I got insurance on. Now, you come take the car without my knowledge, and you'll pay the consequences if you tear my car up. But if I give you this car, I gave it to you. Accidents happen. That's why we have insurance on it. And that's where I raised my little brother. But he did call me. He said, I want to ask you a question. I said, you ain't been calling me and asking me a question. What would you like me to do? He said, but I want to ask you a question that is strong, but I don't want you to think I'm being overboard or too disrespectful or so far and so on. And I said to him, no. He told me what it was. I said, now I understood. I said, no, you can ask anything you choose to ask. Because if it's on your mind, if I can give you clarity, I say, Bismillah, I try to give you clarity. If time permitted and I can't reach them, I'm going to bring it up. I'm going to bring it up because it is a powerful question, a sincere, unbelievable question. And it's something that most people will run from it. I don't run from anything that's already in the Quran. If it's in the Quran, I might run from another book and say, whoa, hold up. Let me get this straight. when you speaking of the Quran and you want to know, I'm going to give it to you. If you're man enough or woman enough to ask me, I'm man enough and woman enough to tell you, there ain't no doubt in that book. It's the only book there's no doubt in it. But Allah, I didn't say we must take al-Islam. He said, I prefer that you choose al-Islam for your religion. So, I mean, if you're Christian and you don't want to come, be a good Christian, good Jew, a good Hindu. Yes, it's in the Quran. Allah don't punish you for that. But be a good one. Live by your book. Because in the Quran it said, judge them by their book. And we judge them by the Quran. Yeah, you're going to judge them by the Quran, you never read it. So you can't judge them by the Quran, but judge them by their book. Now, even that's a major state. Judge them by the book. Did you ever read the book? Because our brothers overseas think it's taboo. They don't understand. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. If you read that Bible and never read the Quran, you're close to the Quran. If you can comprehend the Bible, if you can define those words, what it's saying, because it will throw you to left field if you take it physically, because that's all they talk about. However, in the Quran, nothing is physical. Common sense that you're talking about yourself, you're asking about yourself. And so Allah gives it to us real clear. And so that's what I try to do. Now you say, well, Maharaj, you should use a great deal of the, it's called Arabia, or Quranic Arabic. Now, we say Quranic Arabic because you get your attention right away. Oh, that's right. On the other side of the Quran, it's not English. It's Arabia. People say, no, it's Arabic. No, Arabic is a language of man. Just like Spanish, Italian, French, you name it. That's man. But the brothers from that part of the world that speaks Arabic had to be retaught. Well, look how merciful God was. He put it so close so they can get it. A brother that knows Arabic talking to a Spanish sound alike. Italian sounds like Spanish, sound alike. But the Arabs knew how to speak their language, but they couldn't speak the Quran. Never saw it, never heard of it. Didn't know nothing about Muhammad, didn't know nothing about Quran, don't know nothing about Juma, know nothing about five prayers a day. But Allah had to come to them because they were taking little girls and putting them alive and burying them alive because they was a sin. Isn't that something? They were practicing idol gods, 360 of them. Isn't that something? That's where Abraham came about. So when Muhammad the Prophet, prayers peace upon him, asked them, could he speak at their convention, they loved him. Everybody loved him. He had no religion, brother, sister. He wasn't rich, but he had a lot of honesty and integrity. They can trust him with anything. So when he came in on the pagan holiday, he said, may I speak? Speak, Al-Amin. They gave him the name Al-Amin. That was his name, but it's trustworthy. Al-Amin. He said, I'm here to tell you there's only one God.
Ooh.
And then hell came. They wanted to kill him. They ain't like that. That you saying that their gods don't work. No, 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 no. So this is a true story. This is what happened. So they was most unintelligent people on the face of the planet. You would think it was the European, that man that came from the caves. But they ain't too crazy because they came over here and look what they was able to do. Yeah, they came up with the idea that they couldn't build America. They got to go get through black men from Africa. And they needed those strong women that could keep producing, keep producing. Well, there was a thought in their mind, and you got to give them credit. Look at America. It's built and learning from what we taught them, and they took it from us and then put us in poverty. And now you got Italians, you got Irishmen, you have Filipinos, you got brothers from Mexico. Yes, you got the Latino people taking your jobs. Because why? It taught them. Who taught them? We did. And so they always feared that we will be successful in the world. They knew that. See, they read. They was taught how to read, so they read. And then because they saw in there who we are, really are, so they had to lock us up after coming out of slavery. And so when you know this, you would know what time it is. Because this is the time that everybody thinks that we are down and out. That's how they look at us, that we are down and out, and that we are not going anywhere. But who is stopping us? They are. And so I said, okay, and we know we have a problem. Somebody don't care. They ain't trying to find out if they have a problem, especially if they doing okay. But we have a problem. But what is our problem? Well, there's a problem in America. You can't see it's a problem in America. Well, there's a problem in America, brothers and sisters. But sometimes we turn our heads. You ever heard the story of Noah? Because Noah asked Allah to allow his children to make it. He called it his family. And Allah said, sure, your family will be with you. And it didn't rain for 40 days and 40 nights, and everybody wanted to get out of there. And so when he got on the boat, his son wouldn't come with him. They said, son. Well, he had more children than one son. But the one they're talking about went on top of the mountain and felt the flood wouldn't come way up there. And he saw his son drowning while the boat was taking off. But he didn't just lose his son. He lost several children. But three was with him. Only three. Three was with him, and they became famous. But he begged Allah, oh Allah, how could you take my family? Remember, he didn't say son. He said my family. That's plural. So if he said my family, Allah said your family is on the boat. So the Bible speaks as an individual. It's okay. Same method. One die, all of them died at the same time. But the point is that he said, you said you would save my only begotten son. I mean, that's the way the writer wrote it in the Bible. It's okay. Comes through the same understanding. When Allah told him your family's on this boat, meaning you questioning me, he went down inside you and begged Allah for forgiveness. But he was hurt. But when he got off the boat, or before he got off the boat, he saw Iblis. Yes, Satan was sitting there. And he saw him. And he says, Iblis, what are you doing on the boat? And they said, you thought you were going to leave without me? When Allah gave me life to the final day of judgment? I like saying that because faith is here. That's that jinn in us. You're going to be here to your final day of judgment. However, when he got off the boat, he got drunk. What was he drunk off? Well, they say, why? So let's give him that. He was drunk. So the first son tried to put his clothes on, cover him with a blanket. Couldn't do it. Abraham didn't care about that. He just grieving over his children. And they call their son a white man. That's what they do right now. He was white, they said. And then the second son, he looked at him with disgust and kept walking. They call that the yellow and the brown son. But then the last son ridiculed him, shamed him. Man looked like a fool talking about him. They call that one black. In our day and time, they call that one the nigger. Now, brothers and sisters, look at these names that they came up. But then they said, that son's father was Ham. We are the children of Ham. Now, in that part of the world, there was black and black, but one black didn't like the other black, and the only difference from the two was their hair. And that one didn't want to be called black. Isn't that something? He's blacker than black, they're like his brother, but one had kinky hair and one had straight hair. But the moral of the story, how could he, Abraham, be the son of Adam? And then all of a sudden there's a new blood out of the loins of Noah. How is it that his third son became Ham? See how they trick us up? So you got black Africans believe they are not black. We are black because we the children of Ham. So look it up. So there's a major problem in America pertaining to we the Muslims in Islam. Problem. You didn't think that's a problem? Let's go a little further. We have a great deal of individuals that want to be our leader. And what kills me, brothers and sisters? They are not qualified to be our leader. But they do. They think they does. And that's why there's a problem in America. God has blessed us with his guidance. Only one God is Allah. He blessed us with that. His blessing is only for the righteous. Only for the righteous. If you understand that, you will realize Allah only, brothers and sisters, is help the righteous. And if you're trying to make it, you have to be in your deen level, fitra, to not go through the hell in this world. So Allah saves us. But he only saved the righteous. Well, you made that choice. You made that choice to be who you want to be. But we all look for miracles. I don't care what business you are in. You want a miracle. You want things to happen that you had no control and Allah gave you a miracle. So you want a miracle. So the question is, do you believe in a miracle? Because most of us don't believe in a miracle. They don't believe that God's going to come and help you and you're down and out. So they give up. They get on skid row. They take on a new God, alcohol, drugs, you name it. That's what they do. But miracles is all around us, brothers and sisters. Miracle is all around us. is in my mind and it should be in your mind. People who has faith. Faith in this world. You got faith? That's a miracle. Yes, if you got faith, that's definitely a miracle. So it's a miracle all around us because look at that hell our ancestors went through. Our ancestors went through hell, brother, sister. And if our ancestors went through hell, how do we make it? How do we believe in faith? Did our ancestors had faith? How did they was able to withstand that trial and tribulation that they went through? You ever think about it? Because they went through hell. My God. What kind of hell did they go through? They went through the hell that this diabolical mind, this grafted mentality, was able to hang that brother. Hang that brother because that slave master wanted your wife. And so that brother told that slave master, "You ain't touching my wife." And he hanged him. He's hanging from the tree. The wife comes out crying and screaming and trying to go, "Oh, my Lord," goes to her husband, and they say, "Get her." Now she's pregnant. They hang her. And when they hang her, they see she's pregnant, and they cut the baby out of her stomach. They didn't pull it through the womb, cut her stomach and grab that baby and threw it on the ground and stomped his brain. Is that not hell? Oh, you forgot? You don't go back and see what happened to our ancestors? So all that trouble, because there's a lot of trouble in the world today. Yes, it is. They try to take civilization away from us. They trying to do. But we survive. We survive from being associated with liars and deceivers, with drugs and women being abused and raped, little kids being raped and kidnapped. They got our men incarcerated. They got our women incarcerated. Do you care? This is ignorance. And we're growing up with no patience. We believe what we see is going to continue. We have no patience. Do you have the patience in God like Job? For all of us that have faith, we are in charge. Those who are unfaithful is not in charge. So how are you going to be in charge over us and you're not faithful? How is it that you can't produce anything? Something is wrong. And I was talking to a very wise man. And he said they curse. How you can tell they curse? They standing still. They can't multiply. They got away from what we're supposed to do as the Khalifa. Allah never said, "I'm going to make a man." He said, "I'm going to make a Khalifa." Isn't it amazing? There's no man walk around here and call himself Khalifa because it's feminine. I've seen some call themselves Khalif, but not Khalifa. So why did Allah make it where it sounds pleasing to the female? Because she multiplies. And we, in our taqwa, are supposed to multiply. Yes, man's mind, but woman's womb. Womb, men. Yes, he's all to have. But Allah is saying, come on back together. So to all of us have faith, we're supposed to take our post. We're supposed to soldier in the army of Allah. We're supposed to be in charge. And if you're faithful, Allah is going to guide you. God put us as human beings over his earth, but only the faithful ones. You can't get this if you're not faithful. You have to be faithful. You have to understand that you have to go through trial and error to prove to Allah, because our Father slipped up there in heaven. Yes, he did. So Allah said, okay, you're going to prove it to me. And he sent us down to this earth with the jinn. With the jinn, brothers and sisters. The jinn came with us. So meaning the jinn is in us. So he said, okay, the jinn going to test you. Let's see if you're going to get past this devil. Well, Allah gives the answer. He says schemes are weak. And he's right. It is weak. It's weak that you fall for this material substance. Now, don't misconstrue what I'm saying, brothers and sisters, when we say material substance. Because the material substance is the physical that you can touch and feel, the physical that you can use, the physical that is attraction to your eyes and to your desire and to your evil way of thinking. It can mess you up. But Allah says in the Holy Quran, get a piece of this dunya. Yes, my Christians know what that means. This world, get a piece of this world. And he didn't say it plural. Every individual deserves to have a piece of the dunya. But he comes back and say, don't sell your soul for it, brothers and sisters. Why would you sell your soul for it? You shouldn't. You shouldn't sell your soul. But get a piece of it. I mean, work hard for it. But why would God gives us the angels? Well, let's think about it. He created the angels about thousands of years ago. That's pretty far from you. But let's say a billion years from now. Well, you got the point. But we don't know. So we can say a trillion years. Now you got the idea. It's way before we come into existence. So the angels created light. Now you say, what is light? Well, let's see. Let me see. If you light a fire, it can burn you up. You touch a fire, it's going to burn you. But what is fire? The angels came out of light. So you got fire, you got light, and the angels are the first one here. The light of what? Lightning goes quick. You see it and you don't see it no more. And don't let light strike you, you're dead. Go stand by a tree and see if a lightning hits you, you're going to live. But what lightning is God talking about? It came out of light. Let's think about it. You wouldn't know your way around your home if you don't turn on the lights, because you're going to trip and fall over something. But what is the light? You see the daylight? That's light. You need a flashlight when you don't have no other light? That's light. But the light Allah is talking about is the light of understanding. You enlightened? Isn't that amazing? Before the prophet got revelation, no one knew the name of that mountain. Today, they say he went to the mountain of enlightenment. Now, I'm not ready to teach you on that, but not only enlightening, where's this cave at that he had go by himself? You got a cave. Nothing in the cave. But when the light comes on, like an explosion, and you think it's fire. It's not fire. It's the light of understanding. That's your mind. Okay, let's go back to the angels was created out of light. But they was told, I created you. This is all I'm talking now, not me. I created you to protect my human beings. Now, the angels don't know nothing about the human being. Why? The angels only know what God teach them. And he didn't teach them that. They don't know. But he said, you are to protect and guide my human being. It was way before we came. So we're talking about, let's put a T on it. Let's put a tree on it. Created another creature. So remember, it's two creatures now. This one is out of smokeless fire. It's not just any kind of fire, because once you get that fire that will burn you and burn your house down, you come back, man, all that soot and dirt. No, this one is called smokeless fire. I mean, ain't no suck behind that. This is all pure fire. As I told you prior to the angel, it can burn you, can burn your house down. It can destroy you. However, fire cooks your food. Fire heats your house. You ever have to purify something? You want to stick a needle in your child, but you want to make sure it's not dirty, so you purify it, you put it over the fire. You know how you come through the ranks, brother? And they say, did he come through the fire? There you go, fire. But this is smokeless fire. And there's all the good in this one. But this one has the ability that we don't have. He can come to you as a woman. He can come to you as a man. He can come to you as an animal. He can come looking like you. That's that jinn. But Iblis, brothers and sisters, Iblis, that was his name. Iblis used to come from up to heaven and down to the earth. Because the jinns was on earth. I always wanted to know where the jinn was in a very dynamic Imam that I met, and he said, what's in the desert? I said, there's nothing in the desert. That's where the jinns live. Now, brother, it fit me right now today, because the jinn was on earth. But Iblis and his imps at the time was all with Allah, came up to heaven. And because Iblis can rationalize, the angels, brothers and sisters, fell in love with him. But they can't rationalize. They only do the will of God. So he felt powerful up there. He had, I'm using it so you get this metaphor, he's cracking jokes. He's saying different things. They were fascinated over him. Why? He was in his right creation. Didn't know there's another side of him. He didn't know that. So the Quran says, I'm going to create a Khalifa in the world. And he sent Jabir down to earth. So he reads that he came up. He said, no, go back down, give me the black earth. If you find out, the black earth is more pure than any other color of the earth, because it could be red. But the black earth, he told him to bring it up. Now, I believe the writer used that word to get to a point where black is not a color. Anyway, bring me the earth. And he molded and shaped it. Here comes Iblis to the angel Jabir and said, oh, Jabir, what is he making here? What is this? He says, Allah's new creation. Allah's new creation, yes. He said, Why you want to create another? I don't know. We don't question God. So he went through the mouth and out the back. It was hollow clay. That's what he called it. That hollow clay. So he said, oh, Lord, what are you creating? He said, I'm going to create a khalifa in the world. Well, the book says man, so let's use man. I'm going to create man in the world. He said, you'll create another creature? He said, yes. He said, and cause more mystery and bloodshed in the world? So then that tells us that somebody down in, on the earth, because you couldn't have bloodshed in heaven, he's down on earth creating bloodshed. He said, more bloodshed. Wow. So let's stay up in heaven. So he said, I want you angels to bow in Satya. And some of the angels refused to do it. Now even I said, how could an angel that Allah made perfect go wrong? So stay with me. He said, I want you angels to bow into Satya. Iblis said, not me. I'm not bowing down to no mud and dirt. And you made me out of smokeless fire. Allah said, you to bow when I breathe into his nostril out of my spirit. And he did that. He said, now you bow down to Satya. Most of the angels did go and bow down, sisters and brothers. They bowed down because he said, when they hesitated, he said, Adam, first he asked the angel, he said, tell me your name. And the angel said, Lord, we don't even know what you taught us. That means Allah never taught them their names. But here come this creature, Allah, named Adam. And he said, Adam, tell them their names. And he started naming them. That's why all went down in Satya. But don't misconstrue. So let me give you some clarity. There was two angels in heaven. One, I'm going to use this phrase, original. The other one was a so-called angel. So I like using this metaphor because it, you'll get it. You'll get it. You married this young girl. Ah, she's pretty. She's young. She's everything you want. Because you're much older than her. You remember Order Dean Muhammad got married to a young girl. Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam married a young girl. Now I do know that the Prophet, prayers, peace upon him, this one, they say was 9, 10. But hold that thought. That's all y'all think about is sex. So that's why you got to hold that thought. But Imam Warafi Muhammad turned it down 3 times. So go get your young man. But this one was smart. This one named Khadija, the last daughter of her father. He had 14 children. I remember being at Sister Clara Muhammad talking to all the sisters from Sister Clara Muhammad in New York. I was invited by Imam Ramadan. And I taught on this. And I said, do you really think that Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, why did he marry that young girl? God gave it to him. So I used the minister, Imam Warafi Muhammad. I used the minister, and then he became Imam Warafi Muhammad. I said, I give credit to Imam Sadiq. Who don't want to protect their baby? Well, he was her teacher. And so he was sitting there on the floor. I didn't know he was sitting there because I'm talking to all the sisters and brothers there from all around the country. And I said, "You're jealous of her. You're jealous of her because her being 19 years old, why would she be with a man 60-something years old?" I think he was 60. He might have been 70. I said, "Do you really think it's sex?" So I put him aside. I said, "Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam needed someone innocent." Let me give you a good example. If you're married to your wife for 30 years, 40 years, she's a part of the world. And you're going out. And that little girl said, "Daddy, where are you going?" "Well, I'm going out." "Why you have that suit on, Daddy?" "I like this suit." "Now, Mommy brought you that suit, Daddy. The suit, so I'm going to wear it, dear." "Why are you wearing that tie, Daddy?" "You always wore that tie on a special occasion. Can you tell me where you're going, what restaurant you're going to be at?" "Yes, I'm going to be at this one. I'm going to be at that one." "Well, Daddy, when are you coming back?" "I'm going to be back pretty late. I want to stay up and wait till you come through that door." "No, you should go to sleep, dear. But I want to stay. I want to see what time you're coming in at." "Okay. But if you was talking to your wife for 40 years, and she said, where are you going?" "I'm going out." "Why are you wearing the suit I brought for you?" "Because I want it." "And why? I don't know why you're talking to me like that. Why are you asking me all this?" "Because in your mind, she's of this world, and you don't think that she has good intentions." That little girl, she's so innocent that you will answer all her questions. I don't know a daddy that would tell his little daughter to shut the hell up. You got the point? So this one wrote, Aisha wrote, the life of her husband behind that door. Today, out of all these hadiths, and they say out of all these mean hadiths, by brother so-and-so said, brother so-and-so said, brother so-and-so said, this one got it straight. Why are you in Sajda prayer so long? Why are you in Rock Pool and you didn't come right up? Why you do this? Why you do it? And she wrote it. They called it the most authentic hadith in the world, think what he was doing. But she knew she didn't mean him no harm. That's all it was, brother and sister. It had nothing to do with sex, because ain't no man that's been making love over 50 years can have a quickie with a virgin. Can't do it. Matter of fact, and I'm not using this as another metaphor, it's like having a glove. It's brand new. You're going to drop that ball. Everybody wants that old glove that he can move his hands with and catch that ball. Same way with a horse. No, they don't want no new saddle. He's used to that saddle. So it's never sex. So I said to them, this one can write the life story of Imam Wallace D. Muhammad behind that door. Why? She's innocent. And so when I got finished, her father raised her hand. He raised his hand, and I said, "Sadiq, I didn't know that was you. That was her daddy." He said, "I want to correct you on something, Ron." He said, "My wife and I didn't give my daughter to Imam Wallace D. Muhammad." He said, "She came to us and said, I found my husband." And he said, "What?" She said, "That's who I want to marry." And when she came to with her father, to him, he said, "He's not doing it. I'm too old to tell her, go get her." She came back again, and she came back again. This is him talking, not me. And when he passed away, once again, I'm on the floor, on the rug, talking to all the sisters, and she was there. And she said, "Marat, may I say something?" I said, "Go right ahead, Sister Khadija." She said, "I have I'm not angry with Shirley. And I want her to understand that I'm only living by the way of the Quran." And she said, "My husband left early with me. But I think I'm here for a reason. And my reason is, if it wasn't for his outstanding ability and world renown, I might not win my case. I'm suing Illinois to prove that the Holy Quran, Allah speaking, not them." So she went in that courtroom to prove she's a wife under the Quran rules. And in her mind, if it was anyone else, they probably wouldn't have listened to her. Now, some of the family members was angry because they didn't like that he married a young girl. And at the same time, they didn't know what she was there for. That young sister went in that courtroom and proved that this is my husband. By the law of the Quran, one and two, she said things that most people wouldn't tell the courtroom. And the brother said, "Can I question you?" She said, "Sure. What do y'all do behind the door?" And the brother stood up and she said, "Oh, brother, I can talk for myself." Said, "My husband was good to me." She called him Wallace. She said, "I call him Wallace. Wallace was good to me. When I was down and out, he used to sing to me. And I would laugh. He always kept me, always helped doing something around the house. Today, you don't have to cook. I'm going to cook for you." She didn't have to tell us that, but through that brother's mind and everybody else that was in that room. However, she went in that courtroom, and this is what the judge said. The judge says, "Now, that was a very intelligent man. He went to divorce his full back. He pulled back, and I don't know why he pulled back. But we was all in an arena, brothers and sisters." See, I like to tell anything that's clean. We was all in an arena, and he said, "I used to study day and night, almost fall asleep while I'm studying. And Shirley used to come and say, 'Wallace, you got to go to sleep. You need to sleep.'" He said he was staying all the time trying to search in the Quran that he can give to us. You don't believe that? He's asked my wife. And now, Shirley was sitting there, and Khadija was there. They weren't in the same area, but they was all there. And he pointed to Shirley. He said, "Shirley, stand up and tell him. You ain't shy." He said, "There's a missus. Don't y'all mistreat Shirley." He had a love for Shirley. He had a great love for Shirley because I was his personal. He came to me and taught me. And I was personal with him. And he told me he loved Shirley. Couldn't work the way he's working because a new wife don't get on your nerves. It's all new. You know how you love your car, you don't know why you hit it, you don't know why you touch it until it gets hit. Then it's not new anymore to you, but at least you get used to it. So it was new. And he used to bend over and his back hurted. And just look at him. In the last 4 years, he stood straight up. And he used to say, look at this beautiful tie she got for me, because he wasn't a dresser when she dressed him. Look at the way he looked, because she walked him. So he lived the latter part of his life very healthy. He was doing all the things he ought to do. Now, keep in mind, brothers and sisters, that this judge stood up and said, that man was a brilliant man and a righteous man, because they all from Chicago. He said, but I cannot accept bigotry. It's against the law. So I stayed up all night to figure out how could I help. And he came up with it. He said, Shirley is the wife by the law of this land. And by the law of the Quran, you are his wife, because you have more than one. So I'm going to make you a member of the family. You can't get what Shirley has, rightfully so. She's been there for over 50, 60 years. You can't get what Shirley get, but every meaning sons, daughters, what they get, you get equal. She won. Tell you why she won. Because we who protected the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and brothers and sisters, I'm saying this to you just to show you that Allah blesses who he pleases when he pleases. I came to Chicago like I lived there. And I remember the oldest son, Nathaniel. Nathaniel wanted me to marry his daughter. Pretty girl. He was calling. He said, this you're going to marry my wife. I mean, that daughter. This is my daughter. Showed me a picture. She had a mink on. And I said, she's beautiful. But he kept telling me, this is what you're going to marry. Because I had a beautiful automobile. White on white with cinnamon body with a 1971 Fleetwood broom. You know, that's the way I drove. This is the way I made money when I was young. But he wanted me to marry his daughter. And I said, you got a problem. So it's wrong. I'm married. You're married. You're a young boy. You're only 17 years old. But I became very close to him. I've been very close to Jabba, who told me, and Elijah Muhammad Jr., how I met him. I used to steal the post so I can be under my leader for 14 in a row of BLD of time, and then I got caught. And when I got caught, I thought I was going to get thrown out the window, but you said, save me. So I was always in Chicago. And one day I went downstairs on a Wednesday and saw this man walking the stage. And when he was walking the stage, I said, my God, we got a new leader. My mama was still alive. We got a new leader. I called the brother that me and him was in contest, and he was the captain of the newspaper. I said, come to Chicago. We got a new leader. In the snowstorm, his wife said, go ahead. And he came all the way from New Jersey. And I said, wait till we go down to Friday's meeting. And he saw Wallace walking that stage, talk that we heard, but it fit our soul. He called home and told his wife he may not come back because it's a no-no. You switch on the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He's a captain. Then he passed away. So we rushed to the funeral. I'm at the funeral. Stony Allen. He jumps out my car. He'll never jump. He waits till I park. I park right on the sidewalk. You know, I do things like that. I parked on the sidewalk. But he got out before me. And I got out and running up the stairs. And he's coming down with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Because Elijah Muhammad Jr., well, he's Elijah II now. Captain Elijah II, may Allah be pleased, on Ground Paradise. He grabbed the brother, said, come on, because he knows us. We've been sitting under the arm of Elijah Muhammad for all those years. So he got me. So Yusuf Shaw comes out of the mass chair. I said, brother, minister, you with me? They told me to pick you up and take you to the cemetery. Okay. Of course, he loved getting in my car. And I said, get out the way for brother minister. Get out the way for brother minister. Said, the water parted like a Red Sea. Next thing I know it, I was standing over the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. If I just stumbled, I would hit him. And the brother who came down the stairs looked at me. I said, I got you. And I took him to the limo, and I opened the door. And I saw him crying. And I said, whoa, look how powerful this woman is. I said this story when I brought Ms. Louis Farrakhan and Mustafa together, was supposed to be sold the place out up in Connecticut. And I talked about this story, but I never said it over the air. But it's something y'all need to hear because I'm showing how powerful we are. And so when I heard that judge approve of, because who really was securing the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was the FBI. And if he went out the country, the CIA. Yeah, we act like we were securing him, and we was. We would give our, I'm telling you, I'd give my life for him. But we didn't have the intelligence as that. Why? Because J. Edgar Hoover, why I love him today. When I learned this, because I was writing a story about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I know this story because I was writing. I talked to a lot of the siblings, a lot of the men. I know his story because I want to tell his story. If you've seen The Godfather 1 was us. And The Godfather 2, when Michael turned over, that's even worse than Muhammad. But we're going to tell this story. However, the point I'm making to you is that J. Edgar Hoover said, don't let no one touch a hair on his body because there'll be a guerrilla warfare and a holy war in America. He knew it. He was smart. He said, but I'm going to get him. How did he say he's going to get him? He's going to kill him? No, he died a natural death. He said, I'm going to get him. He changed the rules in this country in one state, Illinois. All illegal, the word they use, children that's not a part of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the family members. They're no longer illegitimate. The only state you can go in the courtroom and quote the state of Illinois today, but before that happened, he knew he would get them. And how did he get them? Passed all the money we gave to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad around this country went to those children. Our land left, our plane left, our trucks on the road, our supermarkets, everything went down. True story. That's how he got the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But a mercy to us. The man said, they'll never do that to us. He said, all of you go under your own umbrella. That's why he canceled his organization that we all was under. He said, go on, be your own man. Run your own masjid. And these fools took it literally and separated and became independent on their own. That's not what he meant. He meant don't let them come and get us all at one time. If they got to sue us, it's 10,000 masjids. There's 1,000,000 masjids. They had to sue one by one because we're all not under the same umbrella. But they didn't get it. They did not get it. That's how they got the Honorable Elijah Muhammad when he passed away. Got him on the law. Here, his wife that he left behind, he's a widow, came there and put us back where we ought to be. So if you number two, you're the wife. You number three, you're the wife. You number four, you're the wife. It's in the Quran and is now documented because of those two coming together. Don't you tell me Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not God. But the sister, and she said when she got up to speak, she said, he left me notes. He left me volumes. And she said, you ain't heard anything yet. She said, but all through my reading, he never mentioned his own name. That's how much he loved us. He wanted to teach us to go to another level. So I said, well, Khadija, you don't have to beg nobody for nothing. Because all of us will buy that book. It's not an Islamic brother that lives here in America and went through hell in America would not buy that book. So she's a multi-millionaire. If she shares, it's up to her. I'm quite sure she will share. So these are the things that we get hung up. That's when Allah says, don't let the material substance move you away from your goal, your taqwa, your salat al-mustaqim, the straight path to Allah. Don't deviate. Because if you deviate, you're on your own. You don't have the angels no more. You don't have the jinn no more. But they are both here to protect us, because when he created the jinn, he told them that. So because Iblis didn't want to submit, it's like a female. You with this young girl, and somebody say, hey, brother, you married that beautiful young girl. Yes, 5 years from now. How's your angel? Yeah, she's an angel. In 10 years, how's your angel? Oh, she is. What about that young girl you married 15 years ago? Oh, she's beautiful. She's an angel. But then this angel comes home. Comes home, she sees her husband, and she says, oh, you got your home, dear, but who is that young lady there with you? Oh, this is my second wife. I want to introduce you to her. Okay, let me put my bag there. He's standing there just talking to the second wife. And all of a sudden, here come a knight. Just miss your head. What are you doing? Here come another one. And here come a hammer. Now, you got to get out of there. But here come the bullets. And they find you. Pull the shooting over your head. You getting out of there. You're trying to get your second wife out of there. So you go to the barber shop. Hey, man, how are you? Yeah, how's that angel? Man, she ain't no angel. She's a devil. Just that turn, that second. What? Jealousy. Envious and jealous. And that's what happened to Satan. Satan was perfect. He was up in heaven. He was over top of the angels because he was moving the angels. The angels loved him. But he didn't know he had another side out of jealousy. He wasn't accepting us. So he asked Allah, don't kick me out. Don't put me in the hellfire. Don't burn me up coming back here. But allow me to show you, Lord, that they are not going to be with you. I'm telling you, you shouldn't have created them. He said, I'll come from the left, the right, the front, and the back. And God said, okay, Iblis, I'm going to give that to you. And whoever follows you in the final day of judgment will go to the hellfire. Now, I was just a young boy when I read that at 14 years old, and I thought that the devil was down in the fire in the ground. But how's the devil going to the hellfire if he lived in hell? That woke me up right away, that Allah is going to send us that follows him to the hellfire. Now, Allah, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with the grand paradise, he said something very profound. He said, you're going to say at the day of judgment, that Satan going to say, Lord, I didn't make them do anything. Yes, the devil made me do it. He said, I didn't make them do anything, Lord. I called them, and they sent me Cain. Now, I'm like, Mama taught that to me, 13, 14, 15, 16, didn't really know it all meant. But you grow into knowledge. You keep studying, Allah give it to you. So that means the schemes are weak. I ain't following him to hell. And this is a temporary world. And that young girl, by studying under him, learned herself that she ain't going through this world trying to play with a guy that here she come back home with all the babies. Here she come back home with this and that. Because why? Her intellectual mind was on a higher level, and she wants to make it through this world. What a man she knew has proved with continuity as being a servant of Allah. Now, if you marry for that, you in paradise while you live. And this is what's wrong with us. We don't understand that. But yet, we'll put insurance on our diamonds, put insurance on our minks, we'll put insurance on our automobiles, our house. Man, we'll put insurance on everything. But the real jewel, the real jewel is your daughter. What insurance did you put on her? You think Satan is not good in what he does? Allah gave him permission. That jinn lives in you. And he here to all the way, let's see what he told Noah. You thought you were going to get rid of me? Allah says he has this privilege, but you cannot control him. He can con us. He can fake us out. He can stab us. He can bamboozle us. But that's you. You fell for it. But that's what this world do. It's not about all of that, brothers and sisters. And while I'm on it, keep in mind that the prophet's wise. He married wise. Some say 14, 18. But what you don't understand, he needed that young girl. But then he married another young girl to be able to take care of that young girl. So he had two young. But then he married a Jew. Why? Because the rule was if the family is married, there's no fight. So the Jews were giving us hell. He stopped that through marrying a Jewish woman. Then he married the Christians because they're more barbaric than the Jews. And they stopped that war. Then he married three or four women that had hepatitis, that disease that Job had. How could he have sex with that? But he made them feel like women. So Allah says, okay, when you write this Quran, there's no more than 14, 15, 20 wives. Two, three, or four. Make her your right hand possess. And you, sister, says, well, ain't nobody going to rule me with no right hand. Of course, you're physical. That's not what Allah is saying. Allah is saying, give her your right understanding. Give her your righteousness. But if y'all get along and feel like y'all want to be intimate, he said, then give her her dignity. What is her dignity? Marriage. There's no such thing as no third party. There ain't no third party to tell you. A wife will tell you in a minute. You see there, you signed this piece of paper. This is my license. I'm married to you. You're going to have many babies I ask you to. You're going to cook my dinner. She'll tell you where you're going to go with that piece of paper. Piece of paper don't bring a marriage. Marriage is the heart of the human being. And if you can see the heart, because if you see the heart and you in her heart, you'll be in her heart in the hereafter. Because there's a lot of birds that most women had to go through, but can't have them all in heaven. Well, who is she going to pick? Allah let her pick from her heart. So we can't pick her. She has to pick her. Otherwise, she'll see her daddy, her father, her children, her aunts and uncles. Everybody is in her heart. She will see. There's no way Allah would let her see three women, or three men, four men, five, six, seven. No, no. It's the one that's in her heart. This is all the Quran. And what we do is we teach in a language, a language. Your daughter go down the street and she talking to an Italian and hold conversation for 5 minutes. And she go down the street and talk to a Latino, another 5 minutes. A Frenchman, another 5 minutes. Arabic, another 5 minutes. When you get home, you say to your daughter, my God, you're so intelligent. You told me, Daddy, to learn more than one language. Well, that's good. So let me ask you a question, Dad. Did you understand what I said? No, but it sounds good. And that's what's going on with the Christian. Yes, la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah sounds good, but I don't know what the hell are you talking about. You speak English. This is a gift. You know how big is a gift that we grew up learning English? That every doctor, lawyer, engineer, you name them, they all come to America because in their country they learn two languages, their own and English. How can we lose with the stuff we use? And we come over here and change it. So I asked Iman, I said, "Buddy, man, why are you teaching me how to read the Arabic?" He said, "So you can talk to God and get it pure. But do not go out and show off. Go out and teach them in the language in which they understand." Here it is. 8 years. And I'm just starting. But I move mountains because I speak the language of the people. And I don't want to know Arabic. Don't tell me I'm an Arabic speaker. I read the Quran. What I give you is what Allah says in the Holy Quran. And his saying is, there is no doubt in it. That's all Islam, brothers and sisters. Maybe it was meant for me not to be on that show. Because who thought that I would take you where I have taken you? That's the angel talking to me. So I want to say to you, I thank you for listening. And hopefully I didn't say anything to hurt you. That is not my intention. And I pray that I said all the right things. But if I made a mistake, I'm human. That's why we say, subhanAllah. Allah is the best knower. I ain't the best knower. I say, Bismillah, I ask Allah to govern my tongue. But if I say anything to allow you to stand up in your spirit, stand up in your soul, stand up in your deen, out of the future, in the nation which you was created, stand up in your taqwa, your obedience to God. Don't give me that credit. Give that credit to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorify his name. I greet you from our father, Adam, our biological father, to our father of the nation, the nationality, and of the mind of the human being, Abraham. I greet you from Jesus Christ. Christ means Muslim. I greet you from Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah. Peace and blessing of Allah be upon the Prophet and his descendants. And brothers and sisters, I give you the greetings. And the greetings is the greetings that I read in the Quran. And it's sufficient. It's an Amerika. Peace be unto you. And tune in. Tune in tomorrow. You have a brother that does nothing but talk about the Tafsir of Imam Waliji Muhammad. That's my assistant for over 40 years. And then he comes in on 7 to 8, and then tomorrow, the same thing. Tafsir of Imam Waliji Muhammad, want to keep him alive. And then he'll pull no points. Everything is Imam. So we can show it to our great grandchildren later. 7 to 8 on Thursday. And then tomorrow, we're back on Juma, is Musa Abui. That's our engineer. We thank him for being so humble to be able to run our show, our station. And then our sisters come on. Sister Salima, I call my niece, and they call me uncle. And my niece, Nadira, and she's Dr. Nadira. Doctor, isn't that something? And they'll be on Friday at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock? Yes. No, yes, you'll be on 5 o'clock with me, and you ask questions, because it's only for you all. I send it to you. You don't call Block Talk Radio. You call conference call. You can ask me anything. All you out there, you have an opportunity. I'll send it to you, and you can question me. You question what I said. I don't program you, but when you say it, I pull up my hard drive, and Allah gives me the Quran, and I read it back to you, and hopefully it's sufficient. If it isn't, then I have to study more on the question that you asked me. And I apologize to all that I didn't turn in today, but it wasn't meant, because I don't usually do something that Allah saw something else for me to do. And then, of course, they returned on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock a.m., both sisters, both of them, the doctor and Salima. Salima is the host. Salima is obviously so beautiful. I was able to give her a station. She was a little nervous. Now she's flying that jet. She can go anywhere in this country. She learned in a matter of 3 times, and she got it. She's working on her PhD. But her sister, that's her younger sister, there's 9 of them, brothers and sisters. And Salima is the oldest of the family. And her father and I were very close. She comes on at 11 o'clock Eastern time. And we will send that out to everyone that's listening tonight. And you can tune in and hear those two females talk about things that it will actually blow your mind. And she's good. And we want to thank my assistant. Was my assistant going on 35 years. She was my first when I first started out and going to the world. And surely she bounced off to be her own individual asset. And we thank her for it. And she's the one that helped Salima to get, because of her mother and her father. She grew up with them. How could she not? And that's where we're supposed to be as a family. So I leave you with this. All of you who knows your people that passed away from the virus, COVID-19, please do a little dua. We say, oh, Allah, separate the East from the West as thou separate the East from the West of their sins, and grant them Jannah. And all you who are sick or ill, we ask Allah to lift your burden and assure you Allah might speak the truth. And then those who are trying to do good and those who are trying to help people, Allah sees you. Don't think he's not. He writes everything down. It's written on that danger that sit on your left shoulder. It's writing all. That's your history that you was able to give. So we ask Allah to bless you with the barakas. Sure, Allah Almighty speak the truth. Once again, I reiterate, I thank you for tuning in. I'm your host, Murad Muhammad. Peace and love.